I'm going to share with you tonight an idea by Rabbi Sacks. It's definitely on a story that we've done before, but I think it's an interesting, different twist on it. So we know it does say Parshas Vayetze on the top, by the way. I apologize. It's Vayishlach. So we know the whole story with Dina is a tough one. Right? You're talking about a young girl who's abducted, raped, and then she's not, nobody lets go of her and all that it's entailed and the murder that ensues. And the question that Rabbi Sacks wonders is, you know, there aren't a lot of stories about the Avos and the brothers. And so if there is a story, there must be a reason why the Torah has chosen to insert that story in. And he says, if you look at this story, one thing is very clear. There's really no moral message in this story. And no one really comes out well in this story. So he asks, what's the point of including this in our in Tanakh? And beyond that, he asks the question, who's to blame? So what I'd like to try to do is, you can see as you look down, the Makoros are a little bit weirder than usual, right? There's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, and 7. So there's 7 different possibilities of who's to blame. And then Rabbi Sacks ends off by putting it all together beautifully. So let's start from the top. Vateitze Dina bat Leyashe yaldal Yaakov l'robev no taretz. So Dina, the daughter of Leah, goes out, that was born to Yaakov, goes out to see bivno taretz, goes out to see the women in the land. So Rashi immediately picks up that there's a problem with this pasuk. Why does it say Vateitze Dina bat Leah? We know that Dina's bat Leah. So Rashi says velo bat Yaakov, but is she not the daughter of Yaakov? El al shem yitziat nikra bat Leah. The fact that she goes out makes her the daughter of Leah. She'af hi atzanit aida, because she also, Leah, was a woman that went out. She'emar Vateitze Leah likrato, because it says that Leah went out towards him. Back in last week's parsha with the Dudaim, the Allah Mashua Mashal ki makabita. So that is what they say, like mother, like daughter. Now, for sure, in 2021, this even suggesting that Dina is to blame would be like incredibly not politically correct. Victim blaming, what do you mean? How could, was she asking for it, right? You can't say that. And yet Rashi clearly says that. Rashi says that the reason why, which is why he wrote it 1,000 years ago. But Rashi is saying that clearly there's a little bit of fault on Dina's part, because Dina is like her mother, and her mother also goes out, which is a little bit hard, because what does that really mean, her mother goes out? Her mother was going out towards her husband. And where was that? You know, I never in my head picture that she was running out to the field. I kind of picture like they're all, you know, sitting around on the chairs waiting for Yaakov to come home, and Yaakov is running towards Rachel's tent, and Leah makes a beeline to intercept him, but it could be in front of the house, in the yard. But Rashi seems to not be very comfortable with that. So that, Rabbi Sacks says, the very first possibility is that the Medrash puts blame on Dina. Dina should never have gone out in the first place. By going out, she brought some of this upon herself.
How does Rashi deal with the next 3 words? Rashar Yadal Yaakov.
Excellent. So I don't know if there's a Rashi on that. Let me just grab a Chumash. But the Ramban... The Ramban is bothered by that. It's interesting because I never really thought about that question until I saw the Ramban. And then the Ramban makes it clear that there's a reason on the other end. So yeah, here we go. Rashi. Yeah, Rashi leaves that out. Probably you'd have to look in the Sifsei Chachamim and see if there's a, you know, if the Sifsei Chachamim points out what motivates Rashi to be bothered only by Bat Leah and not Asher Yaldal Yaakov.
So
the Ramban has a beautiful explanation which justifies why it says Asher Yalda Yaakov, to say that she was also one of Yaakov's kids, and just like Shimon and Levi cared about what happened and go out there to avenge what happens to her. So says the Ramban, all the brothers were like that. So anybody that was born to Yaakov was outraged by what happened, and they all stand up for her. Certainly, the Ramban is answering why Asher yelled al Yaakov. Now, I don't have a Mikros Gedolos in front of me, so I didn't look at the entire Ramban. I took this piece. I don't know if the Ramban discusses the opposite question, which is, why does it have to say Bat Leia? Right? We don't know that. So if somebody wants to check, feel free. But if not, we can definitely say that from the perspective of the Psukim, the Ramban seems to color them a little bit more consistent with the day and age that we're living in. That, to put it on Dina, seems to be incredibly uncomfortable. Okay, so that is a possibility of one person that has some fault in the story. So pasuk bet, Yarot Hashchem ben Chamor Achivi, Nesia Haaretz. So Shchem, the son of Chamor, the Chivi. Rashi points out Chivi is a snake. He is a snake. The person, right? Shchem. Vayikachota veishkavota vayaneha. He takes her, he rapes her, and he abuses her. So soul clings to Dina, the daughter of Yaakov, and he loves this girl, and he speaks to the heart of the girl. Rashi points out, what does it mean to speak to the heart of the girl? He basically says, you know, you think your dad is this rich guy, but I just want to let you know that, you know, whatever wealth your dad has is nothing in comparison to what my dad has, right? So basically, Shechem says, you know, my father is bigger than your father, or my father could beat up your father, that kind of thing. So, of course, Shechem, on so many levels, is guilty here. He rapes her. According to Rashi addressing the fact that it says, Vayishkavota vayaneha, he sleeps with her and he abuses her, says that he sleeps with her in a regular way and in an irregular way. These are the things that are being told to us. He's for sure wrong. And yet, the one silver lining in Shechem, and, you know, sometimes I come in like this platform to make bad people look good and good people look bad. In Tanakh, I don't plan on doing that tonight. But it is interesting to note that in Shmuel Bet, Perek Tetvav, Pasuk Yud Dalet, when we have Amnon, who rapes his sister Tamar, so it says, V'lo aval ishmo bekolav, he doesn't listen to her when she says, please don't do this, this is terrible. Vayichazak mimeno, he overpowers her. Vayaneha vayishkavota, he abuses her and he sleeps with her. Interesting that it's backwards. So after he sleeps with her, after he's fulfilled his passions, so he hates her. A hatred that's so great, so much greater than the love that he loved for her beforehand. Which is to say that he never really loved her, he simply lusted her. And now that his wishes were fulfilled, he has no interest in her at all. Amnon says, leave. Right? In the end, she doesn't want to leave, and he shoves her out. But there are those that point out that to Shechem's credit, after he sleeps with her, he does not feel like, oh my gosh, I don't ever want to, you know, have anything to do with her again. But rather, he's infatuated with her and says, like, I hope, right? I hope I'll have the opportunity to marry her. Okay, so then, you know, once again, we have a second possibility. Shechem could be the one that's, you know, to blame in this whole story. Pasuk Dalet. Vayomer Shechem el Chamor Aviv le'emor, kachi et hayalda zot lisha. So Shechem goes to his father and says, please take this woman for me for a wife. V'yakov shema ki timei et dina bito v'anav hayot mekneo v'sadeh. So Yaakov hears that Dina was violated, and his sons were in the field, and Yaakov is quiet until they get back. So that is another possibility. Within there, we have actually two people that might be liable. It could very well be that it is Chamor, and it could also be Yaakov. Yaakov's reaction of Echrish Yaakov Ad Boam, that Yaakov is silent. I'd say Chamor Bishchem El Yaakov Ad Very Tov.
Yeah, try to assign blame for.
For the whole story. Meaning when we... Well, right. So we're not going to blame. When we look to blame in this story, we're looking at the whole story, right? The massacre of the city and everything else. So you right. Obviously, once Dina is raped, there's no one left to blame other than Shechem, who's the most likely candidate, or you can assign some blame to Dina and say she's at fault. But really, there's no one else to blame besides that. But when you look at the entire story with all the carnage that's left, when the story ends and you have this destroyed city with women and children all left to themselves and Yaakov's family leaving victoriously, so the question is who are we able to point a finger to and say it's on them? So that's a question. Yaakov was silent until they came back. Is it possible that Yaakov's reaction is what leads to the reaction of his sons? Okay, I've gone a little bit fast, but are there anybody have any questions, any problems with the first five psukim? Okay. Pazing vav. The father of Shechem goes to Yaakov to speak to him. And when the sons of Yaakov hear what has happened, they come from the field. Now, it's not clear what did they hear. Did they hear what happened to Dina? Did they hear that Yaakov was silent? Did they hear that Shechem and Chamor were in their house? Or that Chamor was in the house? They're sad and they're angry. Right, that there that a nivala, a disgusting thing was done to Yaakov to sleep with the daughter of Yaakov, and v'chein lo yaseh. So that's like the narration adding in, and this is something that should not happen. Like the berachah moritam lemor shchem beni chashka nafsho bevitchem tununa ota lo lisha. So Chamor speaks to them and says, "My son Shechem really wants your daughter. Give her to him as a wife." So now we skip ahead a lot of psukim.
Question.
Yeah.
The last three words of Zion, "Chin lo
yaseh." Yeah.
It seems like there's a lot of pride, perhaps falsely assumed, because Shechem did do this, knowing full well Yaakov and his sons. Like, they're almost like, it seems like there's something saying, this doesn't happen to the daughters of Yaakov. Well, it did. Maybe it shouldn't have, but they seem awfully prideful. And they're renowned in not protecting them.
Right, so what Rashi comments that this is actually not them speaking. V'chein lo yaseh, right, that they didn't. It was not customary in that time to do that to unmarried women. Meaning, like, the infidelity, totally fine. Raping an unmarried girl was not fine. Meaning, by moral standards, like, a guy sees someone else's wife and says, you know, like, people would raise an eyebrow and say, like, okay. You know, but this was like disgusting. It was unheard of, which is interesting because from a halachic standpoint, this is like not good. The other one, you're chayv misa. So there's definitely like, if you want to use that as like a moral judgment, right? Like according to the Torah, if someone rapes another person, rapes like an unmarried girl, what happens? They're fined. And they pay it, and then the person is forced to live with the rapist, in theory, right? But that's not the case by someone who commits commits adultery. Although I guess maybe what it's saying is that maybe I'm wrong. Maybe it's not. Maybe that's not the equivalent. Maybe it's that they would rape married women. That was something that was customary, but not like a virgin was someone who was like kadosh. You can't touch a person like that. So that's really what it's saying is that Shechem did something that was like beyond what even an immoral society like the one he lived in did. So I don't think it's coming as pride, like, oh, we're the Bnei Yaakov, nobody does this to us. I think it's sort of coming as like a moral judgment, like this is like what the world was, and look what Shechem did. Okay, so the fourth group of people are the people of Shechem. I spared us all the back and forth, but after Yaakov's sons say, if you want to marry into us, you have to get a bris milah. So they go out and they pitch it to the whole city. Guys, we got to do this. We got to get a bris milah. It's worth it for us. So what happens? So Chamor and Shechem, they listen to them. All the people of the city are like, okay, let's do it. Massive bris milah. So what happens? So again, can you blame the people of the city? Right? Again, if they hadn't agreed to get a bris milah, what would have happened? There was no way that the Bnei Yaakov would have been able to destroy the city under normal circumstances. But when everybody was sick in bed, it was much easier. So maybe those people have some part in it, which then raises a separate question is, you know, what did they do to deserve to be killed? Like Shechem and Chamor, I get it. But all the people of the city, right, why did they deserve to die? Okay, so Pasuk...
Could it have to do with you're now changing their status? You're changing them from Canaanite Goyim to a Bris Milah and rules changed on how behavior is done?
Uh-huh. That's interesting, because it's some of the Mefarshim discuss, we'll see the Or Chaim soon, that you're not Chayiv Misa for some of the things that they did, right? So,
as non-Jews.
So that's a fascinating idea that Greg suggests, is that they actually make them into Jews so that they'd have to be held to a higher standard. I mean, the only question with that is, if you can, right, I was gonna say, like, according to Torah law, if I'm a non-Jew and I commit an aveira and then I convert, I don't think I'm chayiv on that. But I think anyway, this story is a little bit like it's not exactly the It's not exactly the beaten path of how judgment works. But yeah, I think the Or Chaim's point is going to be that, you know, the way to get around them being Chayiv Misa is for the fact that Dina is still being held. Okay, so what happens? It's the third day when they're really, really in pain. So there's a lot of family attachment here. There's a lot of Shechem, Chamor is the father of Shechem. Shimon and Levi are the brothers of Dina. They take their swords with, right? Vayavo el ha'ir betach vayargu kol zachar. And they go and they kill all the males. That Chamor v'Shechem b'no argu l'ficharev. And then they kill Chamor and Shechem by the sword. Vayikhu ha'dina mibeit Shechem v'yitzev. And then they take Dina from Shechem's house and they leave. Now, before we take a look at the Sfarno and the Or Chaim, I just want to skip down to number 6. Bnei Yaakov ba'o al ha'chalalim, v'yavozu ha'ir asher timu atachotam. So the Bnei Yaakov come at that point in time, the others, right? And they descend upon the city and loot it. Etzonam v'pkaram v'chamorim v'tashar v'ir v'tashar v'sed v'lakachu. They take all the stuff that's both in the city and the field. V'kol chilam v'kol tapam v'nashayim shavu v'yavozu ikol asher v'bayit. And they take all the women and the children as captives, and they plunder the city. So we have two more people to add to our list of people that did wrong. So who do we have? Shimon Levi and the other brothers. Now, I'm just curious, like, if anybody else is bothered by the fact that really in this whole story, you could make the argument that the people that look the worst in it are the Bnei Yaakov.
Well, Shem Tamor, I think, when...
Which Bnei Yaakov?
The non-Shimon Levi ones.
Yeah.
Right? Like, the fact that after all of this... like, Shimon and Levi, you can make the argument that what they're doing is justice, right? Okay, maybe it's, you know, they're being judge and jury and executioner, maybe not exactly great, but they're coming from a good place. They're achei dina, and they're recognizing that that retribution needs to happen. We're not waiting for divine retribution. We'll make justice something that we do ourselves. But the Bnei Yaakov afterwards walking into a city and then taking everyone that's dead and taking all their possessions and their women, the women and the children, it just doesn't smell right. Yeah, but I did hear David's comment that Shechem and Hamor definitely look worse. Okay, fair. Yeah, I will stand corrected. But in this whole thing, the Bnei Yaakov do not come out looking very good. So... last, so what happens? Yaakov then, Vayomer Yaakov l'Shimon v'Levi, Achartem oti l'avisheni v'yoshev v'aretz v'tnani v'prizi v'ani metei mispar v'nesu alai v'ikun yushan v'ani yueti. And then Yaakov turns to Shimon and Levi and says, do you know what you did to me? Right, you made me look bad in the eyes of all the inhabitants. Okay, so if Yaakov's v'achrish akovat bo'am didn't make him look bad, this one, right, what he's saying is, not that, you know, I understand that Dino was taken captive. I get all that. But come on, you're going to make me look bad with the locals. And then they end off by saying, hello?